Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willl.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Steve Erdman of the EFG Group. USDA released a bearish WASDE report, and the corn and soybeans rallied Friday. We'll try to figure out why today on Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons here in Champaign as well, and Joe Victor of Allendale. He's in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Gentlemen, let's open the discussion with this question, and Joe, we'll start with you for the day. How is it that the U.S. soybean carryout can be raised 55 million bushels and the market still manages to rally?
I think we get to, you know, a little bit of a surprise yesterday is to see the technical action that we saw in the soybean meal. And it's fairly evident that the soybean meal is actually, I hate to put as much trust into this as possible, but it's, it looks like the meal is leading the beans, leading the corn, and wheat's not paying any attention. But rumor-based that China's buying meal. And, boy, that sure would blow a theory about bird flu cutting back on their meal demand.
And Joe Victor is with Allendale. Ed Dunn is with Strategic Farm Marketing.
I would concur that the meal is driving the market right now. Not only are we seeing some increased export numbers like was just mentioned, this colder weather is causing increased feed demand, and you're going to see the soybean interest pick up domestically as well, and the charts are starting to look better. So look for meal to help lead beans, which should also pull corn just a tad.
And Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons. Wyatt, how'd we rally on Friday in the face of that 55 million bushel market up?
I think a lot of the trade already had this a little bit factored in and was kind of expecting that this was the kind of report that was going to be coming out. Beans traded both sides today and ended up closing up too.
Let's talk about some of those numbers that came out. And this one I thought was fairly interesting, USDA. And this one was not one of the supply numbers, but USDA projects the cash price now from 160 to 206. Last year's average, by the way, Ed, was 206. In fact, what do you think farmers might be able to manage for this year's crop?
As far as an average price, in this area, I mean, you're seeing $1.85 to $2 flat price right now from now through February type deliveries. You factor in a 35 to 45 cent LDP, and that's still not bad numbers, Todd. So I know if you go into Iowa and different parts of the country, you're going to see your $1.60 type cash prices. But in this area, you can take advantage of that upper range right now.
And Joe, what are you hoping that producers will be able to manage?
Well, I concur a little bit with the, you know, the majority of the LDP has already been taken. The Farm Service Agency has told us that average level out there is going to be 45 cents, and that's a good place to start. Cash, you're looking at $1.80 to $2. You're looking at pay very particular attention to basis. Basis typically between now and the time that we get the first planter into the field does tend to hold fairly steady and also show some strength. And place a little bit more of your trust into the domestic usage, in essence, like the feed usage, as well as ethanol, and be ready for that January 12th report to help do some more cash marketing.
USDA's numbers, as they were released on Friday morning for the corn, looked like this. 2.419 billion bushels of the new 2005-06 U.S. carryout. That's up 100 million from 2.319 billion bushels. Global carryout at 118.73 million metric tons. Previously, in November, it was 114.21 million metric tons. Corn for the week traded to a high of $1.94¾ in the December contract, a low at $1.86. Their settlement price at $1.89¾ was unchanged from last week. In July, at $2.21¼, up a penny and a quarter. Now, the ending stocks were up 100 million bushels. And that can also be found in the reduced exports figure. They were down 100 million, right? So what I want to know, Wyatt, is if low prices cure low prices, why have the exports slacked off? Are we not low enough yet?
Well, I think a good part of what's decreasing the exports right now is a little bit slowed river movement down the Mississippi. We came back there after the Katrina disaster, and then now the river's freezing up a little bit on north and closing down north of St. Louis. So that's a big factor that's playing into the decrease in exports right now, not to mention that a little bit of foreign buying may be going on.
Joe, do you think that the price of corn will have to move lower into January, February, and March? I suppose I'm not thinking that it will move lower because of exports not being there, but because the it's a time at which prices naturally move lower and farmers won't be really willing to give any corn up yet, and you may as well push it down and wait for them to have to drop the hammer.
Well, you know, it's funds right now, and that's, you know, we heard that all morning this morning before the trade opened, and I haven't really felt that in such a long time, that a lot of what was going to happen today was going to be handed right over to the funds' hands. And if you look at the most recent CFTC reports, position reports, futures and options, and you see where the price is, the funds have been pushing a little bit harder. They're pretty close to, you know, 40,000 to 50,000 net short, but the price is holding relatively well. And I think what we have is, again, not only a fairly stable soybean market, but we've also got a good domestic market. And from that standpoint, do we have to push it to $1.60? If we do, and if the spreads stay where they are between old crop, new crop, you will see more than 2 million acres fewer planted for next year than we had this last year.
Let's talk about planted acreage. Is that 2 million what you're guessing, or have you got another guess?
Our guess, our estimate right now that we're working with is going to be between 1.2 and 1.5 million fewer.
Ed?
I would agree. I think the 2 million is a bit extreme. I've already been talking to guys working on our marketing plans for 06, and I'm just not hearing it from the 12 to 15 guys I've talked to where they're really switching a lot of acres. So 1.5 at the max.
Wyatt, I bet your number's bigger than that, is it?
It is a little bit bigger than that, but not because of activity around here. We're on really good soil right here in central Illinois, and this is where we should be growing corn. There may be a little bit less corn on corn, partially because of low prices and also combined with higher nitrogen costs. But I have a feeling in the western corn belt, some of the dry land areas, we're going to see a large, large decrease.
So you're talking, what, 3?
No, I don't think it'll be that big, but I think 2 billion is a reasonable number.
A 3 million acre drop, or 2 million acre drop. Sure. Okay, so let's take a look at some more of these numbers and see what we come up with. China's corn crop at 130 million metric tons, November estimate at 126 million metric tons. That'll be a pretty good size crop for the coming year. And I want to know about China and their export market in particular as it relates to this. And they've been fairly active in the last several months.
Well, you have to credit China and the Ukraine both for helping the USDA lower their numbers this morning. China's always been a wild card, Todd. I mean, you know, how many years have we made adjustments after the fact on them? But they are going to continue to stay aggressive. I can't argue with the USDA numbers, but we need to see the production. It's just like South America. They keep projecting big numbers out of there, but with input costs growing and everything like that, how do you truly know that they can reach those type of numbers?
Ed, are you talking to your farmers about pricing out next year's corn crop?
Yes. With these corn at 240 or higher, it's certainly a good spot to get started. And we've also started to look. Some of these country elevators are offering pricing programs where you commit a certain amount of bushels and they'll average it out over a certain period of time and give you guaranteed prices above where the Board of Trade is trading today. And those are the type of things that we think farmers need to take a good look at, because last year was a prime example that even with a rough growing season, you can still see lower prices.
The Andersons has several good marketing programs that we're recommending for farmers. Past 5 years' performance has been excellent, and we really believe that the longer you have ahead of the crop, the longer you have for a chance on better prices. I mean, the 2007 December contract is already a good 20 cents ahead of the December 2006, so your time value in there is going to make up for any risk that there might be of a drought or otherwise. So I think the pricing tools that are out there are very good, and I recommend them to any producer.
Joe, do you concur?
Well, I think from what we've got right now, we're 30% done, 30% hedged at 254 and 7/8. Would we hedge more, a little bit, 10%? Because, again, if we're talking about fewer corn acres, I don't know if I'm necessarily such in a big hurry to run out there. Argentina is a stiff competitor. They have fewer corn acres this year, more bean acres. China, you're talking 157 million bushels more to be exported between now and the middle of February. Interestingly enough, we finished a study today that suggests when you have corn prices between $2 and $2.20 for the first quarter, we have identified that there are years where typically the usage on average is 168 million bushels more. So back to your statement when you said low prices carrying low prices, there is an example where you keep the low prices low, not only from a domestic usage, but also from an export usage, 168 bushels more on average being used in that first quarter than what you would traditionally see. So, again, go back to the original question. We're 30% done now. We'll go ahead, if we get back up above 252, 254, do 10% more. But we'd like to be a little bit closer into that February-March time frame before we say too much more.
Are you hopeful that ethanol production will eat up some of that 100 million that we're lacking in exports?
Ethanol, you know, as long as the gas prices, energy prices continue to push higher, ethanol's gotten they're on the front showcase, so to speak. I mean, ethanol got a big boost in trade volume because of the energy prices. Do we believe that ethanol is going to be picking up a lot of it? Sure. I mean, the trend has been continuing to find more plants going online, more usage. The energy bill asking for near double production. Also, you have to use domestic use for feed use. I mean, poultry. I mean, I just finished writing some of the closing comments here tonight that, you know, the chicken egg placement is up again. It's your heaviest usage of meal. Those are the things, yeah. I mean, we're expecting big things out of that January 12th report. The only thing I'm a little bit aggravated with right now, though, Todd, is the EIA, the group that puts out that ethanol report. We're still staring at September numbers, and I did make contact with them this past week. It's ridiculous. I mean, we've got a Census Bureau that can put out a monthly crush report every month, and yet we're still sitting here looking at September. Allendale's going to do something about it. We're going to go out there and make some phone calls this week, but we did get a reply from the EIA, and basically what they said is deal with it for at least the next year until they go through some more talks. It's ridiculous.
Ed, did you happen to see that gold made a 25-year high this week in the gold market? And how does that work in those outside markets, like gold making such big highs, work into what we've got going here in the corn and the bean markets?
Right. I think what you got to look at is the commodity index, the CRB as a whole, Todd. And, yeah, with gold, last year it was crude oil. You know, is that the type of thing that's going to spur this market on and you get that outside money in? Last year it took till the middle of February to get that kind of excitement growing. But you're starting to hear the rumors. You're starting to see the talk of something happening. So, yeah, it is. I think it is something that you have to keep an eye on as a grain producer and marketer anymore. What's happening in these other commodity markets? And, you know, I agree with Joe. Maybe you do need to hold on and look for some 250-type numbers possible in Feb-March because of this type of action.
I definitely agree. I feel like with the CRB being very high, this could attract some fund buying into the grain commodities just because of the fact that with higher gold, higher other costs involved in different commodities, that's going to attract it to the potentially underpriced grains.
December oats, 210 was the settlement price. They were up 6 from last week. December wheat, 308.5, the high, the low at 292.5. Their settlement at $2.93. They were down 10.5 cents from last week. July futures at 326.75 were off 10.5. From the soy complex, January beans, 575.5 on the high, the low at 553.5, and their settlement price at $5.69 were up 6.25 from last week, and the July futures at $5.90 were up 10 cents. USDA's numbers for the beans, 405 million bushels, up from the November estimate of 350 million bushels for the new 2005-06 carryout. Global carryout raised as well, 48.11 million metric tons. That's up from the 46.75 million metric tons in November. When you looked at the complete report, Joe, this morning, did you see anything in there that surprised you big time?
Not really. You know, the export reduction was anticipated, and, you know, just to clarify, it's Allendale believes that it's not necessarily a result of bird flu in China or in any of the other Asiatic countries. We believe that we did see continued buying China from Brazil as we were entering that late summer time frame, typically at a time when China is starting to gather new crop purchases from the U.S. So that big slug that's usually there on September 1st just didn't come through. USDA overshot it. It's a simple, you know, estimating error on their part. Every year we're doing very close to a billion bushel. But again, you know, as one of the gentlemen earlier mentioned, you got some colder temperatures now. We're going to be chewing through this stuff a little bit more frequently. But really no big surprises out there.
In the bean market, much of the attention is always turned at this time of the year to South America. The Argentine bean number is at 40.5 million metric tons. That's unchanged from last month. The Brazilian at 58.5 million metric tons. Unchanged there as well as far as the WASDE number goes. But we did hear from meteorologist Peter Levitt on Thursday afternoon during the closing market report, but that for him it appears that this crop is probably off to the best start in South America, in particular Argentina and Brazil, that it has been in recent times. So it could be a very good year for the bean crop there. And I suppose between that crop and a 55 million extra bushel carryout, it could be a rough winter for soybeans.
That's possible, but again, Brazil is a very large country, and you know, it's just like the United States. One area may be excellent, another area may be suffering. Another thing to consider is it's very early in the production cycle. If you would have asked me June 1st what our soybean crop would have been, I definitely couldn't have given an accurate estimate, so I think it's still too early to decide.
And finally, one final question before we move on to our next segment for the weather. And I want to know from each of you if you think the lows, not on the cash side, but on the futures side, are in for both the corn and the soybeans through the winter months. Ed, we'll start with you.
Through the winter months, I do think the front month low has probably been made in corn. I am not as confident in the soybeans. So I would say no and yes.
I'm exactly the same as Ed on that. I think that, you know, the March corn contract may start to erode down a little bit once the December goes off the board, but I don't believe that it will get quite as low as the December contract did. And again, beans are going to be trading on what's going on worldwide, not just here in the United States, so it's too hard to predict which direction the beans could head now.
And Joe?
Through the winter months, yes on both. Low is in.
Thank you much. We'll talk with Steve Erdman when we return.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Much of Illinois got off to one of its coldest December starts on record as the winter switch was flipped to the on position on December 1st. You can wait until December 21st if you want, but winter started in earnest across the state this week with record cold weather and significant snow over most of the state. Illinois temperatures this week range from 14 degrees below average over southern Illinois to 22 degrees below average in northwestern Illinois. There were 2 days this week where high temperatures remained in the teens as far south as Interstate 70. A number of locations established new record low maximum temperatures on December 5th and on December 7th, and others set new record low temperatures as the mercury dipped below zero across the northern half of Illinois on December 7th. Precipitation was all snow this week, with some light snow across the northern half of the state last Saturday night and early Sunday. More significant snow came in on Thursday as the first major storm of the season headed out of the southern plains and into the lower Midwest. Most of Illinois picked up snow from this system, with the largest accumulations in southern, central, and eastern Illinois. After a brief and weak weekend warm-up, cold weather will reestablish over Illinois next week, with temperatures generally running below normal. A series of fast-moving clipper systems will cross through Illinois, bringing a chance for light snow or flurries about every other day. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Wyatt Muse of the Andersons here in Champaign, Joe Victor of Allendale and Crystal Lake, and Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. He's in Champaign as well. Our guest is from the EFG Group. He is from a central Illinois farm near Chenaux and has worked with many commodity companies. He now helps to manage that EFG Group in Chicago. Please welcome University of Illinois grad and options specialist Steve Erdman. Hi, Steve. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You know, you've still got a farm, I think, there in Chenaux. Your father and maybe brother, if I remember correctly, are on that. What's the best advice you gave them on corn or soybeans over the past marketing year?
I went up to do a seminar up in just off of Lake Huron in the middle of July and printed off the charts to talk to about a group of about eight farmers up in Canada. And when I printed the charts off, I called Tommy, my partner here in Chicago, and said, "Fritzer, it's done. Look at these charts." He said, "You're right. It's over." And our meeting was a breakfast meeting, and I told the farmers that morning, I said, "Guys, the market's done. You need to get very aggressive about sales, the inability of beans to get better than 750 is throwing up flags. So you need to get very aggressive about your crops." And I called my brother and told them the same thing, that it looked to me like the market was rolling over and we needed to get very aggressive about selling crops. And also after that, about 6-7 weeks ago, the basis was the sloppiest I've seen it, I think, in about the last 25 years. I think Wyatt could probably add a little flavor to that, but I don't think we've seen basis as sloppy since 1983 or so, when we saw 64 under at the Illinois River in Peoria. And I told him, I said, this is the sloppiest the basis is going to be. You're going to see dramatic basis improvement over the next 2 months, and we have, and a lot of the different regional markets. So those two pieces of wisdom, I don't know how much he uses, because you can ask him, and I'm wrong as many times as I'm right.
Steve, following that up with the sloppy basis, a lot of guys put both corn and soybeans on DP, obviously filled the bins to the rim at home. Now we're coming up on January, and it's time to pay bills. If a guy calls up and says, "All right, I need to generate X amount of dollars," do you sell corn? Do you sell soybeans? And assuming you sell soybeans, do you look at buying options back? And if so, what?
I would. I think your volatility, your implied volatility in the options market now, Ed, are some of the lowest levels that we've seen in quite some time. There's very little price uncertainty. By and large, I think if you would have polled many people today before the report, the trade in general, everybody that was a fighting bull as the bean market broke the last $2 is now very bearish. And that's a lot of the herd mentality. I think people, are now bearish to beans. I've heard a lot of talk, as we did a year ago when the markets were bottoming, that people are starting to talk about 5.25 and even $4 bean prices. When you're looking at a projected ending stocks of over 400 million, and the corn ending stocks projected at 2.419, I would sell cash grain. I learned many, many years ago that the best time to sell cash grain is the second week of December, and I learned that from one of my country elevators, who is an exceptional marketer. Basis levels, I think you need to reward the market for the basis appreciation we've had in the last 6 weeks, and I would strongly urge guys to look at some cash sales of corn and replace it on the board. I would try to stay up front with your ownership, because I think you're going to start to see the board carry some of the weight that the basis has borne here in the last 6 weeks, so I expect to see some of the spread start to improve. I don't know if Joe would agree with that or not, but I think the cash market can only do so much. I heard Wyatt talking about the Illinois River and some of the logistical problems they're having there and the reason that our export pace has slowed, and I agree with that 100%. But I still believe that the board should start to reflect some strength in the spread. So specifically, I would look at buying at-the-money calls. They're very cheap in either corn or soybeans to replace ownership. And I think the guys need to pay special attention to basis levels and reward the markets accordingly.
Now, Steve, you're talking about regional markets and sloppy basis. I know I spoke with a producer today in the Red River Valley of Minnesota. He says their corn basis is still 35 under. Now, at the Andersons here in Champaign, we're currently 8 under on our cash corn. Do you see this as a good opportunity for producers to lock that in?
Yes. Why? Well, you know your cash market much better than I do, but how much did you guys improve from your lowest basis, say, 6 weeks ago?
Well, the lowest on the year was 35 under. That was right in the middle of the glut of harvest.
Right.
But we slowly came back from that. We'd been in the 15 under range, then 12 under, then 10 under, and now we're at 8 under. Our January bid's 6 under, and then February 4 under. So it just gets better from here.
Right. But I would take this basis rally, and I would take advantage of it. I would capitalize on it if I were a producer. I'd be locking in. I hopefully hopefully guys are, have been monitoring their LDPs and we're able to lock in, you know, some very attractive LDPs. And I would strongly urge guys to take this, again, to take this rally in the basis to their advantage and lock in cash prices. You know, they don't have to worry about potential quality deterioration in their bends. And I think the market should be rewarded.
I agree completely.
Good.
Joe, question from you?
Steve.
Yes, Joe.
Trying to breathe a little life into the wheat market, figuring with the funds being as short as they are, futures and options, and really feel that, you know, as long as this wheat market continues to be a dog, it doesn't help the corn market that much. And I'm wondering if you're seeing anything on the horizon that could give a little bit of breathe a little life into Chicago wheat as short as the funds are there and as long as they are in the Kansas City.
Well, the only thing, I mean, I've got to defer to my charts, and it's to me, it's going to be extremely difficult for Chicago wheat to break much more than what it already has. I think we closed spot Dease wheat at 293, if I'm not mistaken. And if you look at a monthly chart, we did 5 years, basically, of consolidation between 230 on the downside, I'd say, and 280 on the upside. Mm-hmm. 5 years of consolidation. To me, as you know, as a technician, I just can't get real bearish and have any expectation that the market's going to be able to punch through that. So yes, I'm optimistic about wheat. I guess I'm more optimistic about Kansas City wheat and or Minneapolis than I am Chicago. But mm-hmm. I still think KC wheat's something that people should be taking a hard look at.
Do you think if that complex does take off, it can bring the corn with it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not terribly bearish on corn from this level. My the way the chart measured to me, if you flip the corn chart over, it measured to a $1.86. We've tested it twice now, and I think the market's trying to rally out of here. I need to see more positive steps and more positive weekly closes before I get real excited about corn. But I can't give you the fundamental reasons right now, and we're staring down the barrel of a 2.419 ending stocks, but we got to all remember we have a much greater demand base today than we had, say, in 1987 when we had some carryout levels that were like this.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Steve Ertman was with the EFG Group. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Now a very short final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Wyatt Muse.
Well, thank you for having us today, Todd. I want everyone out there to stay warm, watch the ice while on the roads, and enjoy your holiday season.
Ed Dunn?
Following up on the theme of the day, watch basis levels and don't be afraid to look ahead at the 06-07 pricings.
And Joe Victor?
Don't forget the huge rally that we had in late January, early February, based on practically nothing other than the funds wanted to start to invest into a cheap product.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Just click on AM and then, of course, Agriculture. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. Have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.